The series this month has been on giving thanks, and tonight's subtitle is For Deliverance, giving thanks. It's a good news message, and tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day. Anybody in the house excited? Thanksgiving Day here in the United States, okay? And some of you may be excited, maybe you're spending some time with family and friends, and maybe tomorrow is a difficult day for some of the men and women sitting in the room, because during past Thanksgivings, maybe you spent it with somebody who is not here today, and so you've got some grief and some sorrow that you're dealing with tomorrow. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the Word of God says that God will always be with you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. Though you may have no family with you tomorrow, God is right there with you, and He wants to talk to you like you talk to your best friend. Is that making sense tonight? All right, briefly, Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving holiday, has its roots in giving thanks to God. Now, when I say the word Thanksgiving, what comes to your mind? What does the word Thanksgiving mean? She said, thank the Lord. Anybody else?
Family.
Okay, it's basically giving thanks. Being appreciative. Thanksgiving is an attitude of gratitude. And so this Thanksgiving Day, I encourage you to think of somebody important in your life. Somebody who positively impacted your life as a child, as an adolescent, as an adult. Think of that person who was positively influential in your life and communicate with that person. Write them a note. Send them an email tomorrow, make them a telephone call, and just tell them that you appreciate them, that you are thankful for them in your life, for that man, that woman in your life. Maybe it was a grandparent, maybe it was a brother, a sister, an aunt, or an uncle. Just communicate to that person that you're thankful for them. And ultimately, we're to give God thanks for His many blessings in our lives. Every good thing that you've received in life, from the breath in your lungs to the financial miracle, has been given to you from God. Every good thing in your life has come from the hand of God. And I encourage you to think of one good thing a day to thank God for, and just express it out of your heart to God. Say, God, I thank you for my beating heart. God, I thank you for the health in my body. God, I thank you for the shelter. Think of one thing a day, especially tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day. Think of something, two things you can give God thanks for, and just speak it out to God tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day. But more than just on Thanksgiving Day, we're to thank God on a daily basis, as I was just saying. So more than just Thanksgiving, we're to practice thanks living. Always thanking God. Is that making sense here tonight? So we're going to practice here for the next couple of minutes. For the next minute, think of something good in your life. Be it your hands, your arms, your legs, that relationship. Think of something good for the next minute and speak it out. We'll take three or four. Something good in your life that you're thankful to God about. Yes, sir. That his baby's still alive. Anybody else? That's good. Yes, ma'am. Say it again. For your five children, yes, sir. John 3:16 for helping the homeless. That's awesome. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Thank God you're still alive. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Real quick, two words. Wisdom and knowledge. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Your health. Okay, anybody else in the room? Yes, sir. His grace. Yes, sir. Two words. You have seen him. Okay. Anybody else? Everybody's health. You right there? Yes, sir. The doctors at St. Francis. Yes, ma'am. Your family. Okay, these are good things to thank God about. That is awesome. Think about one thing every day that you can give God thanks for and speak it out to Him. All right? Now, I personally am thankful most of all for the gift of eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. Friend, the gift of eternal life is the greatest gift in the universe. No gift can compare to that. That knowing that when we leave this earth, when I leave this earth, I'll be spending it forever in heaven with God and with Jesus. That's awesome, isn't it? I want to thank God for that. And I want to read a little something to you. It's from the Speaker's Quote book. And it's about Anna the Slave. Listen to this. I thought this was really good. And some of you may have heard this. Fulton Ursler tells of Anna, his family's longtime nurse, who had attended not only his birth, but also the birth of his mother. Anna was a remarkable woman who had been born a slave. One day, Ursler recalls, Anna taught him the greatest lesson he had ever learned about giving thanks. Watching Anna bow her head at a meal, Ursler heard her thank the Lord for her food. "But Anna," he said, "you'd get your food whether you thank the Lord or not." "Sure," she replied, "but it makes everything taste better to be thankful." It makes everything taste better to be thankful. And friends, you know what? Life tastes better when you're thankful. Let me say it again. Life tastes better when you're thankful. Life looks brighter when you're thankful. You see, but you develop a more optimistic and positive outlook on life when you're thankful to God ultimately and to other people. Is that making sense? All right. Okay, let me read you an article from that was produced in the USA Today, updated November 24th of 2008. It says, "Your health. Giving thanks can make you healthier and happier." Now listen to this. Practicing gratitude, I'm coming in the middle of the article. Practicing gratitude is like exercising, says Robert Emmons, professor of psychology at the University of California, Davis. "Use it and you won't lose it, even when times are tough, as they are for many folks right now." Libomirsky and Emmons are among researchers who have studied the power of gratitude and learned, for example, that people with high blood pressure not only lower their blood pressure, but feel less hostile and more likely to quit smoking and lose weight when they practice gratitude. In one study, patients just called a research hotline once a week to report on the things that made them grateful. People who care for relatives without Alzheimer's feel less stress and depression when they keep daily gratitude journals listing the positive things in their lives. Those who maintain a thankful attitude through life appear to have lower risks of several disorders, including depression, phobias, bulimia, and alcoholism. Most people can lift their mood simply by writing a letter of thanks to someone. Hand deliver the letter and the boost in happiness can last for weeks or months. Practicing gratitude in these systematic ways changes people by changing brains that are wired for negativity for noticing gaps in emissions, Evan says. When you express a feeling, you amplify it. When you express anger, you get angrier. When you express gratitude, you become more grateful, more thankful. Grateful people, he says, don't focus so much on pain and problems. They're quicker to realize that they have friends, families, and communities to assist them in times of need. And the article goes on. That's good, isn't it? So being thankful to others in your life who have positively helped you, being thankful ultimately to God will help you physically in your life. It will make you more optimistic, more positive. It will make life taste better. Could you say amen to that tonight? All right. When you thank God, ultimately, when you give thanks to God, it's an expression of your faith in God. Let's turn quickly to Luke 17. Luke 17. If anybody has a Bible, if not, I'll read it to you. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. And it says this, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan." And it says in verse 16 that he thanked him. From the original language, it can be translated this way. That he thanked Jesus repeatedly for the healing. Like, "Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. I was once leprous, but now I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He thanked Jesus repeatedly. He praised him. And then Jesus asked, were not all ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. 10 lepers were healed by Jesus. How many came back and thanked him?
One.
1 out of 10 is what percentage? What's 1 out of 10? 10%. 10% thanked Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And I think maybe the statistic might be the same today, that though God does so many good things for believers and does miracles in their lives, maybe only a small percentage thank him. But I think as believers in Jesus Christ, all of us ought to be thanking God on a daily basis. Does that make sense? Could you say amen to that tonight? Now, Jesus makes a link between verses 16 and 19. It says that this Samaritan threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said in verse 19, we jump down, rise and go, your faith has made you well, has made you whole. It could almost be said that Jesus said, rise. Your thanks has made you well. Jesus is linking what in this passage? He's linking thanksgiving and what? And faith. Let me say it again. Jesus is linking thanksgiving and faith. This leper that thanked Jesus for his healing demonstrated to Jesus, expressed to Jesus, that he had faith in Jesus. Is that making sense tonight? In thanking God for the good things in life, it expresses to God that you knew that it all comes from him, that you trust him, that you have faith and relationship with the Almighty God. Let me say it again. Like the leper, when you thank God for the good things in your life, it expresses to God that you know that every good thing you've received came from his hand. It expresses to God that you've got faith, trust, and relationship with him. Does that make sense? All right, so thanking God for the good things now. What does Paul the Apostle write in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18? He says, in every circumstance, give God what?
Praise.
Give him praise and thanks. In every situation, thank God. Now, it's easy to thank God when things are going well, right?
Amen.
When miracles are happening in your life. But it's not as easy to thank God when things are not as going as well, right? Now let's see what the psalmist writes in Psalm 18, tonight's text. Psalm 18, verses 46 through 49. Psalm 18, the psalmist writes, the Lord lives, praise be to my rock, exalted be God my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. In context, what was the psalmist thanking God for? For delivering him from the hand of Saul. Saul was after the life of David. He was after him to kill him. And God rescued him from the hand of Saul. And he was thanking God for that. He says, therefore I will praise you, give you thanks amongst the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name because you exalted me above my foes. From violent men you rescued me. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that whatever protection you've received in your life, that was from God. You need to thank God about that. You might have been in a car accident, a fatal one, and your life was saved. Guess what? God saved your life. There might have been somebody out there trying to kill you with a gun in their hand, pull the trigger, and it didn't shoot. That was God saving your life. You need to start thanking God for those miracles. Amen?
Amen.
Giving God thanks for his deliverance and for rescuing us from evil men and evil situations. Is that making sense? That near miss was a blessing of God. It was good, something good that God did for you. Back in November of 96, I was driving my pickup truck. was at 101st in Delaware coming home from church. Some of you may have heard of this. It was a Sunday night. It had snowed previously. It was icy. I was going about 40 miles an hour at about 101st in Delaware in South Tulsa. And my truck began to slide, and all at once I panicked and I hit the brake real hard. And it began to spin and it flipped on the passenger side. And I want to thank God for giving me the wisdom to wear my seatbelt that night. I was suspended in midair. Had I had not my seatbelt on, I could have died, friends. I just walked out of that truck, not a scratch on my body. God saved my life. I want to thank God for that tonight. Amen? That near miss in your life was God's protection over you. It was God saving you and delivering you from loss, from dying prematurely. All right. Acts chapter 12. Rescue from evil men. Acts chapter 12. Peter was rescued. Verses 1 through 11. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. An angel appeared. Could you imagine? Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed through the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city, open for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked through the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." When Peter acknowledged that God rescued him, it was like Peter was thanking God for the miracle of deliverance. God delivered Peter like the psalmist wrote in Psalm 18, 46 through 49. He delivered Peter from evil men, and he was thanking God for it. Any tough situation you've been in and you've been delivered supernaturally, God delivered you. Start thanking him for it. Amen? And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that you may be in the midst of a tough situation right now in your life. You may be in the midst of a tough circumstance right now in your life. I encourage you, in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of the valley, in the midst of the low time of your life, start praising God. I'm going to read one more passage. Could you stand one more passage? One more account, Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, Paul and Silas, verse 16. Acts 16, verse 16. "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept us up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the Spirit left her. The owners of the slave girl, when they realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight," here's the key, in stocks, in chains, in the middle of prison, "at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. In the midst of their jail experience, they were praising God. They were thanking God. And look at what happens. Verse 26. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Isn't that amazing? They're in jail. Their feet are in stocks. And in the middle of it, they're thanking God. They're singing praises to God. They're singing praises to God and thanking God in the midst of their tough situation, was expressing their faith in God, saying, God, it could have been worse. We could have lost our lives, but we haven't. We're still alive, and we thank you for it. God, and we thank you for in advance for the miracle that you will deliver us from this prison, and God did. You see, their thanksgiving, their praise to God, was their expression of faith in God, knowing that they knew deep down on the inside that God was going to come through for them. Is that making sense? And friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, in the middle of your hardship, start praising God. Start saying, God, it could have been worse. God, I could have lost my life. But God, I'm glad. I thank you, God, that I'm still alive today. And God, I thank you in advance that you are about to rescue me, deliver me from this tough situation. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you do that in the midst of your jail experience, God will deliver you. Is that good news? Your thanksgiving to God in the midst of your low point is your expression of faith in God, saying, God, I just know that I know that I know that my miracle from you is around the corner in my life. Amen?
Amen?
See, in Paul and Silas's case, their thanksgiving to God in the midst of their jail experience was the key that unlocked the door to their deliverance. I'm going to say it for you tonight. In the midst of your tough experience, your valley, your sickness, the lack of finances, that addiction, that broken relationship, your thanks to God in the midst of that tough situation is the key that will unlock the door to your deliverance like it did for Paul and Silas. You might have gotten a bad report from the doctor. Maybe he said your blood pressure is high. But you start thanking God. I thank you, God. It could have been worse, God. I could have been dead. But God, I thank you that you will deliver me from high blood pressure, from diabetes, whatever the sickness might be. And God will come through in your life. You might have lost some finances. You might have lost a job. But you know what? You say, God, it could have been worse. But I thank you, God, that I've got a shelter here in downtown Tulsa, a place that I can sleep at and study your word. And God, I thank you in advance that you are going to provide me with even a better job. And I assure you that if you start thanking God in the midst of the bad report, God will turn it around in your life. Could you say amen? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And God has got something wonderful in store for your life. He's got deliverance. He's got rescue in store for your life. Victory over that addiction. Start thanking him in advance before you see the physical manifestation of the miracle. Is that making sense tonight?
Yeah.